week we looked at some words that help to answer the questions that we ought to always be asking when we're reading the scriptures, and that's who and what, when, where, why, and how. Of course, not all of those questions are answered in every passage, but there's little words that we look for that certainly help in answering those questions. We saw last week there's words that reveal contrast. We went through some of those words, and that, of course, helps us answer the question of what. There's words that reveal location, which, of course, helps us to answer the question of where. And those words are throughout the Word of God. There's words that introduce time or sequence, which help us to answer the question of when. And then there's little words that help us that introduce manner or how something happens, and that answers the question, of course, of how. And some of those words are, if we turn to the book of John, chapter 15, the little word as is a word that introduces comparison. We'll look at that a little later. But it's also a word that introduces manner. The little word as simply means in that degree or to that extent or in similar manner. In John 15 and verse 4, get there. I'm in the book of Acts. John chapter 15, verse 4. Abide in me, Jesus speaking, and I in you. So the subject here is abiding in Christ and Christ abiding in us. Then the next word is as. This is the degree. It's also comparison, but it's the degree, the extent, the manner in which we are to abide. We are to abide as the branch. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. So that's a word that tells us how we're to abide in Christ. We're to be so closely knit to Christ that has the branch and the vine. That's the manner in which we are to abide. Notice in verse 9 of the same chapter, Jesus said, as the Father. Again, the word as here also is a comparison, but it also introduces a manner or an extent of something. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. As the Father. That is, in the same manner, to the same degree, to the same extent that the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Now that's beyond comprehension. People talk about the love of God, but we have no idea of how the Father loved the Son. It's described as so loved in John 3, verse 16. But that little word as tells us that just as the Father loved the Son, so Christ loved us. Now we can understand how the Father could love the Son, but how the Son could love us as the Father loved Him, again, is beyond comprehension. So that tells us how Christ loves us. How does Christ love us? He loves us just as the Father loved Him. Notice verse 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another. As, again, there's a comparison, but this also refers to the manner as I have loved you. How does he love us? He loves us as the Father loved him. And how are we to love one another? As Christ loved us, or in the same manner that Christ loved us. Then notice in 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. 1 John 2, verse 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as. Again, there's a comparison, but there's also a manner or degree. We are to walk as he walked, or as Christ walked. Another word that indicates manner or degree is the word by. B-Y. Very little word, and it simply means through the means of. When we see that word by, it could mean beside something, of course, but it also means by the means of. It tells us how something is accomplished, how something is done. Notice in the book of Romans, chapter 1, the book of Romans, chapter 1, and verse 4. Again, the most important words in the Bible are not the big words, it's the little ones. Those are the most important and the most descriptive words in all the Word of God, and those are the words that we usually just read over. And in verse 4, and declare, talking about Jesus Christ, in verse 3, and then verse 4, and declare to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness. So the subject here is that Christ declared to be the Son of God with power. He was revealed to be the Son of God. Then the next word is that word by, or through the means of. Here's how Christ was declared to be the Son of God: by the resurrection, or through the means of the resurrection. So the resurrection is what declares Jesus Christ to be God himself. In the book of Romans, chapter 3, book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 20. Therefore, by, through the deed, through the means of, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by, that is, through the means of the law, is the knowledge of sin. Now this tells us that little word by tells us the very purpose of the law. It was never the purpose of the law to save a sinner, because by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified. That was never the intent of the law. But by the law, through the means of the law, is the knowledge of sin. It's what convinces us that we need to be saved. It's what convinces us of our guilt and how short we come of fulfilling the righteousness of God. Then notice in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, being justified by, he's going to tell us through the, we've already seen that we're not justified through the means of the law. Now the little word by, he's going to tell us how we're justified. Through the means of what? And we see, therefore, being justified by faith. That is, through the means of faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By, there's that little word by again, referring back to Jesus Christ. That is, through the means of Jesus Christ also. In addition to being justified by faith, through the means of Jesus Christ, also we have access by, through the means of faith, into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Then notice in Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll read verse 5. Ephesians 1, verse 5. Having predestinated, determined beforehand, unto the adoption of children by, that is, through the means of, we are predestinated to be adopted as the children of God, through the means of Jesus Christ, by Jesus Christ. It's not by anything that we have done or ever would do, but it is by Jesus Christ, through the means of Jesus Christ. I mean, if someone would just notice that little word by, you cannot have any other interpretation of the Scripture. It's not possible. If you just notice what you're reading, you can only possibly come to one interpretation, and that is exactly what it says. Ephesians 2, in verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ by grace, or through the means of, that's what the word by means, through the means of grace, ye are saved. Again, that's very plain. Verse 8, for by grace ye are saved. That is, through the means of grace ye are saved. Another word that helps answer the question of how is the little word for, and means on behalf of. On behalf of. And it tells us the manner of whatever is being talked about. In the book of Romans, chapter 5, we'll begin reading with verse 6 down through verse 8. For when ye were without strength in due time, Christ died for. Okay, the subject here is Christ dying, and he died for, or in behalf of, the ungodly. For scarcely for, that is, again, on behalf of a righteous man, will one die, yet peradventure for, again, a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for, or on behalf of, us. And so this tells us why Christ died, on behalf of sinners. Then there's words that introduce reason or cause. And these words, of course, are very important, and it helps answer why or how. Why something happens, how something happens. But as soon as you see these words, you know that a reason is about to be stated, or a cause is about to be stated. And the very word because. We say something and then we say because, and then we follow that up. And everybody knows what the word because means. That is, for this cause, or for this reason. This is why we say what we say, or do what we do, because. So when we see the word because, it is a word that is about to make very plain something that has been previously stated. For this cause, or for this reason. So again, the Bible leaves very little doubt. When you see the word because, there's no need to doubt anymore, because God's going to tell you exactly the reason for something. So we need to look for that word, because it's a word that makes Scripture very, very plain. Notice in the book of John, chapter 8, and verse 37. And John, chapter 8, is certainly one of the most plain chapters concerning the depravity of man. And in John chapter 8, verse 37, He says, I know that ye are Abraham's seed. That is, I know that by birth, your genealogy goes back to Abraham. I know by birth that you are Jews. But ye, even though you are Jews, ye seek to kill me. Because, and here's the very reason. Now, ye seek to kill me because, and he makes it plain, why they seek to kill him. Because my word hath no place in you. That's the reason. That's very plain. The word because makes it very plain. Then notice verse 43. He says, why do ye not understand my speech? What? Jesus is talking to them. They're not understanding a word that he is saying. So he asks a question and then he answers the question. He says, why do ye not understand my speech? Even because. He's going to tell them why. Here's why you do not understand what I'm saying. Ye cannot hear my word. Now, obviously, he wasn't talking about hearing with the physical ear. He was talking about a spiritual hearing. And why is it today? Why is it that, again, people can talk all they want to about the simple gospel? First of all, the gospel's not that simple. And second of all, to a lost person, it's not simple at all. Because they don't understand. And the reason they don't understand is because they cannot hear. They cannot hear my word. Then notice John 8, verse 44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth. And here's why he did not abide in the truth. And the same reason the devil does not abide in the truth is the same reason men do not abide in the truth. Because there is no truth in him. That's why the devil does not abide in the truth. Because there's no truth in him. Why is it that men do not abide in the truth? Because the truth is not in them. If it was in them, they would abide. Again, the word because answers those questions. Verse 45, he says, and because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Why is it that they did not believe? It's because Jesus told them the truth. And they don't know the truth. The truth isn't in them. He says, because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Then notice verse 47. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because. Now he's going to tell us why they do not hear. Because ye are not of God. You see, every single time we see the word because, it makes it very, very plain why things are whatever they are. It makes the word of God plain. You can have all the philosophy you want and all the opinions you want, but when Jesus says, because, that settles everything. I mean, that settles it. He's giving us the reason or the cause of something. And Jesus gives us the very reason and cause people do not believe. He makes it very plain here in John chapter 8. And then, of course, the word for again also can mean because of. Because of, which is just another way of using the word because. Notice in Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 1, verse 26. For this cause, you can just put the word because there. For this cause, that's the same as because. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. Why did he do that? Well, it goes back to what it was changed, what was said in verse 25. They changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator. For this cause, God gave them up. Because they did that, God did this. And the Bible makes those things very plain. Because man does such and such, God does such and such, or vice versa. In Ephesians chapter, well, we'll not turn there. We've read those verses. But the word for also means in order, or with the aim and purpose of, indicating purpose, which again is just another way of saying because. Notice in Romans chapter 1, verse 5. Romans 1, verse 5. By whom we have received grace and apostleship. For, or in order, for this purpose, obedience to the faith. People will say, well, I don't know why God is so gracious to me. For obedience to the faith. He says, we receive grace. We receive grace for obedience. That is, with the purpose of being obedient to the faith. And Ephesians chapter 1, of course, makes that plain. The little word that, means for this purpose. Or another way of saying, because. Notice in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1. And verse 4, very familiar verse of Scripture, Ephesians 1, verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that, which is just another way of saying for this purpose, or because. Again, people will say, I don't know why the Lord chose me. The Bible tells you why. It tells you why in many different places. So, you ought to know. We see he hath chosen us before the foundation of the world that, for this purpose, that we should be holy. It's not because we were holy, but he has chosen us that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So again, the word that is a word that's basically means because. Verse 12 of Ephesians 1, that, which backs up to verse 11, we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that, because, we should be to the praise of his glory. For this reason were we predestinated. For this reason were we chosen. That we should be to the praise of his glory. So you see, these words help answer the question, why? Why? Here in Ephesians 1, verse 4, Ephesians 1, verse 12, we see why. Why we were chosen. Why we were predestinated. And it's indicated simply by that little word, that. There's the word, whereby. Whereby. It simply means by which is another way of saying because, or by what, or for what reason. But when we see the word whereby, it refers to the reason of something. Notice in the book of Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 4, again, by noticing little words, You cannot, if you pay attention, you can't go astray in the Scriptures. You can't go too far off if you just pay attention to what it says. And then, of course, believe what it says. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby whereby, referring back to his name, we must be saved. Whereby we must be saved. The only way you can be saved, again, whereby, simply referring to by which? Referring to his name. Referring to the person of Jesus Christ. Notice in the book of Romans, chapter 8, book of Romans, chapter 8, and verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. So we see he's talking about the spirit of adoption, the Holy Spirit. Whereby, or by which, or by what, whereby, that is the spirit of adoption, we cry, Abba, or my Father. In other words, we have the assurance that God is our Father. But the only way you have that assurance is if you have received the spirit of adoption, because it's whereby. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Therefore, one who has not received the Spirit of God cannot possibly have assurance of salvation. It's not possible, because the way assurance is made possible is by the Spirit. Notice in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, wherefore we receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby, that is, by which, by what? So it is whereby, referring back to grace, we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear. Not only you cannot be saved outside of grace, you can't serve God outside of grace. It is whereby we serve God acceptably. That is grace. That's the only way it can be accepted. So we're saved by grace, then everything we do from that point on is only accepted by the grace of God. We have nothing. We had nothing to offer for our salvation. We still have nothing to offer. It's all by the grace of God. Then notice in 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, 2 Peter 1, verse 4, whereby, he's going back to, he hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. It's his divine power hath given us all things unto life and godliness, whereby are given unto us. So that little word, whereby, tells us why. Tells us why something happens. The word wherefore, which means for what reason or for what purpose. Or it can even mean consequently. When you see the word wherefore, it could be getting ready to state a consequence of something. But it's definitely going to state the reason or the purpose. So there's so much in the Word of God that God's people are constantly saying, well, we don't know why this, we don't know why that. But if you read the Word of God, you'll know why. I mean, the Word of God tells us why over and over and over again. Wherefore, and again, there's so many places where that word wherefore occurs. The word wherewith, meaning with which. With which. In Ephesians 2 and verse 4. Ephesians 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith? With which? Referring back to love, he loved us. The reason God is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith? By which he hath loved us. And then there are words that introduce condition. which again answers the question of what, answers the question of how. The word accept, it's a word that occurs many times in the New Testament. It simply means but for. It means with this exception, accept. It establishes a condition. And what many of God's people fail to realize is almost all of the promises laid out in the Word of God are conditional. Almost all of them are conditional. And the word accept states a condition. There is a condition. Now notice in Luke chapter 13, you see, a lot of people would like to believe that God is obligated to do such and such no matter what. But the Bible, you don't find that anywhere in the Word of God. You find conditions are often set. And in Luke 13, verse 3, and again in verse 5, he says the same thing. But he says, I tell you nay, but except. There's a condition here. Except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. You are going to perish. You are going to perish eternally, except you repent. You say, well, I believe in election. So do I. Believe in predestination, foreknowledge, believe all of it. But I also believe, except you repent, you'll likewise perish. No one is going to be saved without repentance. Foreknowledge and election and all that, it includes repentance. But there's a condition here. The condition is you are going to perish except you repent. Now we know from other scriptures that no one is going to repent until God does a work of grace in their heart. So it all goes back to grace. But there's a condition. Notice in John chapter 3, and verse 3, Jesus, talking to Nicodemus, answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, I believe that verse with all my heart. And I know that does away with a lot of things that people have imagined in their minds about a lot of things concerning salvation. But the Bible is very plain. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. No one will ever, ever, ever see the kingdom of God except they be born again. You can come up with all the what-ifs you want to. But I still go back to John 3, verse 3, John 3, verse 5. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We don't have to understand it all. That's what it says. That's what it says. There is a condition. Notice in John chapter 6, verse 44. No man can come to me except, there's a condition. No man can come. Something has to happen for a man to come to the Lord. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. I will raise him up the last day. Who is he going to raise up? The one who comes to the Father. Who is it that comes to the Father? The ones who are drawn. They're the only ones who do come. No man can come except the Father, which has sent me, draw him. Now, you cannot get any plainer than that. And if that doesn't line up with someone's theology, they need to change their theology. Don't try to change the Word of God, but change your theology. And people today are always trying to fit in their free willism into the Word of God. Guess what? It doesn't fit. And you can never make it fit unless you change the Word of God. And anyone, I don't care how nice they are, and they might, how good of people they might appear to be, if they change the Word of God, they're enemies of God, they're enemies of the truth. That's very simple. Except, so there's conditions. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. 2 Timothy 2, verse 5. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Now, isn't it amazing? If you're watching the Olympics or any sport on television, you are not going to get a medal unless you follow the rules. If you win by cheating, you're disqualified. You're not going to get anything. You're disqualified. Doesn't count. But now we come to serving the Lord, and for some reason, all the rules go out the window and everything counts. Now all that matters is as long as you're sincere. Well, that's not what this verse says. It says that a man is not crowned except he strive lawfully. In other words, except he obey the rules or does it God's way. You can't do it your way and be crowned. You have to do it God's way. And that's what that little word except is telling us. So it indicates a condition. Then, of course, there's the word if, which indicates a condition. And the word if simply means unconditioned or on this condition. And he's about to state a condition. Notice in Matthew chapter 8, and verse 2. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. If you will. He said, God can do anything other than deny himself. If you will, you can make me clean. The word if establishes a condition. The condition is God's will. That's the condition. The will of the Lord. Matthew chapter 9, verse 21. For she saith within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. The word if states something she had to do. It states, again, a condition, something she had to do. Then notice if we go back to John chapter 8 again, John chapter 8 and notice verse 36. John 8, verse 36. If, that's a condition, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. All these people that talk about liberty, talk about how they're the slave to no one, they're their own man. Well, the Bible says the only way you can possibly be free is if the Son makes you free. That's the condition. The condition of freedom is that the Son of God must make you free. Verse 42, Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me. Implying, of course, that God wasn't their father, which is another way of saying you're lost. But if God were your father, you would love me. And that's true of Jehovah's Witnesses today. They're not Jehovah's Witnesses. They don't know Jehovah. If God were their father, they would love Jesus Christ. But they hate Jesus Christ. They despise, they disdain Jesus Christ. And why is that? Because God isn't their father. If God were their father, they would love Christ. So you have the word if, and then you have the word unless, which is just another way of saying except. Unless such and such happens, this isn't going to happen. And we see that word. So all of these words help answer questions. All of these words keep everything in context. All of these words make the Scriptures plain. Make the Scriptures just too plain for most folks. There's nothing mysterious. Well, I shouldn't say nothing. The Word of God isn't as mysterious as most people think it is. If you read it and pay attention to the words, that's the problem. People read and they do not pay attention to what they're reading. They do not pay attention to words. And that's why if you're in a discussion, argument, whatever you want to call it, with somebody who doesn't believe the truth, and they read a scripture, you need to stop them when they get to a word like because. You need to stop them right there and say, now, tell me, what does the word because mean? Before you go any further, I want you to tell me what the word because means. And they'll know what the word because means. Okay, now read. Because. And the Word of God's plain. Now they're left with one of two choices. They either have to accept it for what it is, or they're going to have to deny it. And if they deny it, there's no need to go any further. There's no need to argue with them, because chances are they need to be saved. And you need to start witnessing to them and telling them their need of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to learn to pay attention to small words, because that's what makes the Scriptures so very plain. And the Word of God is unveiled to us when we notice these words. So when we see these words, we ought to just stop, because we know something important either has been said prior to or to follow. So look for these words. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us.